Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
It's Calling the Shots News Update.
I am Sean Guastamacchia. Late night in the NBA. The Warriors going for their 11th straight win. They are in Indiana. They are winning 115-90. They are led by Steph Curry. He has 26 points. Draymond Green is out. He's resting. One other game of note. Celtics on top of the Nets, 68-65. They're playing in the third. No Kyrie Irving in that one. But the news of the day in the NBA has to be Anthony Davis, the Pelicans all-star, has told his team he will not sign an extension and wants to be traded. This according to ESPN and his agent, Rich Paul. Davis, eligible to sign a five-year, $240 million extension this summer with New Orleans. If he does not, he will become a free agent in the summer of 2020. Here is head coach Alvin Gentry on explaining to his team about what to say with Anthony Davis.
I hadn't really thought about it, to be honest with you. Like I said to every time somebody asked me about his free agency, I said, you know, he's right there. You can ask him. So, like I said, my whole role is to have the team prepared to play. And, you know, whoever's available, we try to utilize those guys to the best of our ability.
NFL news, Rams cornerback Nickell Robey-Coleman continues to make it. Last week, he was the player in question for the controversial non-pass interference call in the NFC Championship game on Saints wide receiver Tommy Lee Lewis. And today, well, he was quoted in an article on Bleacher Report saying about Tom Brady, age has definitely taken a toll, and I'm quoting here, for him, meaning Tom Brady, to still be doing it. That's a great compliment for him, but I think he's definitely not the same quarterback he was. Robey-Coleman goes on to say, movement, speed, velocity, arm strength, he could still sling it, but he's not slinging it as much. Whatever he was doing because of his age and all that, he's not doing as much of that anymore. End quote. So, Raquel,
oh, Sean, why?
Robey
why
continues to make news there, Keith.
Sean, never, ever, 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 ever go after a legend. It's just pointless. You and I know Christopher Mad Dog Russo for a long time.
Yes,
we both have worked with him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is fantastic. He is one of the reasons why probably both of us ever dreamt about doing sports talk radio. And listen, is he kooky at times? Sure. Is he quirky at times? Sure. Does he mess up names sometimes? Yes. Would I ever go on the air and like call him out for actual stuff? No! That man is a legend.
Right, right.
Don't do that. Like, but, of course. What do they say? Never.
Yeah.
But you don't need to say never spit in the wind and never pull on Superman's cape. No,
yes.
Tug on Superman's cape. Don't do it. No need.
But you especially would agree, he's lost a step, don't you think, Tom Brady this year?
But what's the point in saying it?
Oh, 100% what did you agree.
Like,
he's just being honest, though.
Like, but
and dumb at the same
why?
Time. Yeah.
Yeah. Why? Was there a need to be honest? That's like, what's a good comp with it? It's like, all right, here. You have two brothers, let's say, right? And someone asks you, like, which brother is your favorite? And you know you have one that you get along with a little bit more. You don't actually answer the question.
Yeah.
You don't say, yeah, I like Dave better than Mike. No, you say, I love my brothers. Yeah, but do you like one more? No, even though in the back of your mind you're like, yo, Dave and I have so much more fun. Mike is a stick in the mud. Like,
yeah. Like, same thing with kids, right? You don't have a favorite. I did run into one person that I worked with once, and he would tell me, he's like, yeah, my favorite son. You know, I'm like, really?
No.
Like, you have
no.
Like, wow, yeah, yeah.
Really? Do I know this person?
Yeah, you do know this person. I didn't work with him closely, though, so it's I don't want you to think out
that's
loud
fine. That's
about
fine.
That. But Tom Brady was fine. On WEEI in the morning. He did not address those Robey-Coleman comments, but he did say he learned from last year's Super Bowl loss. We'll get you that sound a little bit later. But, Keith, also, yesterday's NFL Pro Bowl was watched by 8 million people. So it looks like the Pro Bowl will stick around for at least a couple of more years. Did you know this, though, Keith? The contract with Orlando is up. They had a 3-year contract to play the Super Bowl. It's up after
this year.
So where's it going to go to now? I mean, are you going to go back to
Orlando? I don't know where it goes. Yeah. It's well, no. It won't be back there. They've had rain the last couple of years. It hasn't even been that warm of weather. They will move that somewhere. I actually think they should just dome it up. Put it in a dome so you know. Dome it up. Maybe take off the pads. Play flag football. Boom, boom, boom. I think more people would actually enjoy it. I think everyone – I know everyone's still watching it right now, but I think more people would enjoy it if it was that way.
And, Keith, the top 25 college basketball poll is out. No change at the top. Tennessee remains number one, and Duke remains number two. They were in action tonight. They creamed Notre Dame 83-61, and we have to give you the Zion line. He was 10 of 12 from the field, 1 of 1 from three-point land, 26 points, 9 rebounds for the presumptive number one pick overall. Keith, that's your news.
So
I am Sean Guastamacchia.
He was 100% from long range.
Wanna be ballers, shot callers.
Shot caller. It's Calling the Shots with Keith Irizarry.
Hour number two, Calling the Shots. Keith Irizarry, Fantasy Sports Network. Fantasy Sports Radio. Love to interact with you guys out there as well. 844-84-FNTSY. 844-843-6879. Twitter, Calling Shots FNT. Instagram as well, FNTSY Radio. FNTSY Sports Net, iHeart, TuneIn, so many different ways to get at us. We've been doing a lot of NBA, but you know what? Sean was in that news update talking about Nickeil Roby-Coleman. I want to give you a little bit more about this. So Roby-Coleman said he sees ways to get Brady all over the place and that the QB will slowly start to reveal himself if the Rams defense can stay connected. I also would like it to be noted that when we talk about Mr. Tom Brady, like, you got to at least mention the stat. And it was the craziest stat that I ended up seeing of the day. Tom Brady has been hit just once in the playoffs. Just once. Michael Giardi from the NFL Network had this one tweeted out earlier today. One time in three games, and it's not like, you know, him being outside of the pocket or anything like that. He's been pressured 11 times in 90 dropbacks. Again, if you want a percentage of that, that means he has been pressured only 12% of the time. Think about this. This was an offensive line that came into the year with question marks. Nate Solder was gone. They were bringing in new pieces. Was this going to work? Tom Brady, what can he do? I think we also all kind of forget how important the running game of Sony Michel has turned. I really do think this has become a really big factor in it. A little bit more with Nickeil Roby-Coleman. He did kind of backstep a little bit. And he tried to say that the comments he said about the age were taken out of context. It was taken out of context. I mean, you know what? It may have been. And maybe he's, you know, screwed up his words a little bit. There was no reason to say it. Yikes. More next. Call the Shots. Keith Irizarry.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Back here, call it the shots. Keith Irizarry, Fantasy Sports Network, Fantasy Sports Radio. We'll get into our prop bet review a little bit later in the hour. Got some good stuff going on with that. You know, as I was talking about Anthony Davis. Wow, just mixing up the names. Anthony Davis, I'm going to get into James Harden. That's why I was doing that. So Anthony Davis, obviously one of the best players in the NBA, dealing with the fracture in his finger right now, made waves today when him and his agent told New Orleans that they would be requesting a trade. Essentially, they are, you know, they're doing a good thing. This is the whole pre-agency thing that is becoming a very trendy phrase now, free agency. So now you do pre-agency, which allows teams to understand that they're about to lose you and understand that, listen, if you want to get something for this player, you know, my client, go out there, trade him now. Here's a list of places that we would like to see him end up. So that's obviously been one of the biggest storylines. The interesting thing, too, is how about the NBA admitting now that they will be monitoring, Adrian Wojnarowski had this, they would monitor whether or not there would be tampering. And New Orleans coming out and saying they want to make sure that the NBA does monitor whether or not there is any tampering going on. Because we did find out, basically, that, you know, when LeBron comes out and says something to the effect of, wow, it would be awesome to have Anthony Davis on my team, that, by the letter of the law, falls into the category of tampering. So, I mean, it's got to be paid attention. Another storyline today with that is obviously the fact that Anthony Davis is represented by Clutch Sports, which is Rich Paul, which is LeBron's, like, you know, best friend and business partner. I know there are a lot of people that think that's something that shouldn't happen. I don't know. Business is business. And ultimately, I look at it this way. There's always going to be tampering. I mean, are you going to tell me that these players who either grew up playing with each other, against each other, or whatever, don't at times text each other? I mean, it happens. But the reason I brought up James Harden, too, is last night, yet another dominant performance. He drops 40. And I'm calling this like the Harden monitor. So it's now 23 consecutive games where dude with the big beard has scored at least 30. And maybe the bigger storyline in this one may not even be centered around James Harden. It was nice to see the future Hall of Famer Chris Paul back out on the floor. And in 25 minutes, he got 12 points. He looked close to himself. Was he a little bit sluggish at times? Sure, I would say so. But that would be expected. But he looked pretty good. And for all of the greatness that James Harden is, and listen, this dude is right now clearly the MVP. Right now, he is clearly the most dominant just scorer in the NBA. He can find a way to get a bucket. I mean, that's like, put him on ice skates, he'd find a way to score also. It doesn't matter. Give him a weighted basketball, he'd find a way to put it in the net, because that's what he does. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen in my lifetime a player more in a scoring zone for an extended period of time than James Harden. I know we had that run. Kobe Bryant had the, whatever, four or five games in a row of like 40 points in each game. Like, and again, I say my lifetime. Like, it's not fair for me to turn around and say something about Wilt Chamberlain when, I mean, I was not alive for Wilt Chamberlain when he was playing. So I can't do that. I can tell you what I saw in video. I always say what I can actually have seen in my eyes. I can be historical, and I can tell you what history tells us. But, you know, listen, for my age, I'd like to, you know, stick with the things that I've actually seen. Chris Paul is going to become crucial. He's going to be so imperative to whether or not the Rockets can take a step further than they did last year. I don't think they can beat the Warriors. I don't think anyone can. But if there is a team with a healthy Chris Paul, a healthy James Harden, we're assuming a healthy Clint Capella, and the rest of the role players, I think they could push him to the brink. Today we begin our Super Bowl talk as well, and we're going to do something each and every day. This was producer Sean's idea. Each day we're going to come up with some sort of list, some sort of top five list to get you even more excited about what's to come in the Super Bowl. Today, we're going to start it off with our top five Super Bowl games of all time. And I think, Sean, what we should do, we got like 5 minutes left in this segment. Let's go from 5 to 1. We'll go back and forth with these, and we'll see which we choose as our top games. I haven't seen your list yet, so I don't know if we have any that cross over, if we have any similar ones or any of the same. So why don't you go first? What's number five on your list?
Number five on my list is Super Bowl 36. Patriots beat the Rams 20-17. It's the game that started the Brady Belichick dynasty. The huge upset there, Tom Brady pulling it out, get him Adam Vinatieri, the game-winning field goal. So that's my number five, Super Bowl 36, Pats beat the Rams.
Love that one, and I'll tell you why in just a few moments. A little foreshadowing for you. You know what? I'm going to go with one of the worst Super Bowls of all time was actually one of my top Super Bowls, and you'll understand why. Super Bowl 20, I am 5 years old. And the Chicago Bears were a team that I was watching play that entire season, and I fell in love with watching Walter Payton. He was nicknamed Sweetness. My father's nickname is Sweet Lou. People call him Sweetness, so he became my favorite player at the time. I began rooting for the Bears. They dominated that Super Bowl, and it's the first Super Bowl I can remember watching. That's number five for me.
Ooh, that's a good reason. I like that. For me, though, Super Bowl, the fourth best Super Bowl that I've watched or – that I have witnessed, at least, Super Bowl 23.
Yeah, we all have to be alive for these, yes.
Yeah, I believe so, because I can't really tell you how exciting the Super Bowls were previous.
Super Bowl 3 was awesome, by the way.
Yeah, right. No, Namath, hey, you got the guarantee. Super Bowl 23, 49ers beat the Bengals 20-16. That's the game where Joe Montana threw the touchdown pass to John Taylor in the end zone. It's the iconic, you know, highlight that's shown over and over on NFL film.
Dwight Clark.
No, not that one. It's the Super Bowl.
Oh, not
one.
That one.
Yeah, Super Bowl one where he throws that tight spiral and they beat the Bengals 20-16. So I go 49ers, Super Bowl 23, beating the Bengals. That's my fourth best.
Cool. My number four is the Pats over the Rams, 20-17. Same one you added at number five. I won't waste a lot of time. The one thing I find cool is that was February 3rd of 2002. This year's Super Bowl will be played on February 3rd. Your number three.
Super Bowl 42 is my number three. Giants beat the unbeatable Patriots 17-14, Plaxico Burress with the game-winning touchdown. That's for me third best Super Bowl.
Number three for me is Steelers over Cardinals. James Harrison running back that 100-yard
love that one.
Scoop and score was amazing. That game had so many twists and turns. I found myself rooting for the Cardinals. Would have loved to have seen Larry Fitzgerald get one. He did not. That's number three for me.
And for me, number two is the Super Bowl 49 where Malcolm Butler intercepts Russell Wilson on the goal line. Seahawks win 28-24. To me, that's my second best.
You know, yeah, I thought about putting that one on my list. That would have been like number six for me. I feel like that game grew in lore because of a mistake as opposed to an actual great game.
How important that interception is. Had that not happened, Brady loses three straight Super Bowls and Russell Wilson wins a second in a row. I mean, just the swing of legacies there is huge.
That's a good point
there.
Yeah, and maybe the Seahawks don't end up having a fallout, and maybe they don't start breaking up.
Yeah.
So I could definitely see that. I'm going to go Super Bowl 51. Patriots come back to beat the Falcons 34-28, down 28-3 in the second half. And, you know, I think that so many little nuances in that game with, you know, Julio Jones making the big catch, and you think Falcons are going to win, but then they don't run it out correctly. So that's my number two.
My number one, my top Super Bowl of all time, and it's painful to me, but it's still the best game I've ever watched. Super Bowl 25, Giants beat my Buffalo Bills 20-19. Scott Norwood, 47-yard field goal, missed as time expired.
Yeah, that's a tough one as a Buffalo Bills fan, I am sure. My number one, call me a homer, and I don't care. It was last year. It's the Eagles ending all their futility, finally getting that Super Bowl championship. Basically outscoring, outslugging, outdoing everything that Tom Brady in his 500 passing yards could do. Winning that game 41-33. The Corey Clement catch, the Alshon Jeffrey catch, the Philly. Like so many things made that game number one for me. We will tweet out both of our lists on the Twitter accounts. So you guys can check out our Super Bowl top five games. More next. Call the shots. Keith Irizarry.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Ice Cream Man is coming at the game. Just got a gut feeling. No problem. Now you can bet from anywhere, anytime with the all-new MyBookie mobile betting platform. With the MyBookie mobile platform, you'll enjoy the safety and convenience of at-home betting when you're on the go. Try it out today, and you'll never miss another winning bet. Head on over to MyBookie.ag and open an account with the promo code FNTSY. And MyBookie will match your deposit up to $1,000. That is right, $1,000, a cool $1,000. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. Calling the shots, Keith Irizarry. Fantasy Sports Network, Fantasy Sports Radio, 844-84-FNTSY, 844-843-6879. Let's check our poll question really fast and see what's going on here. What NBA team will Anthony Davis be playing for by the NBA trade deadline on February 7th? Lakers are at 66% of the vote. Pelicans are at 20%. Knicks at 9%. Other at 5%. So there you go. Everyone thinks it's going to happen with the Lakers. I still come back to this. If I'm the Pelicans, I don't have to make the trade. Like, it doesn't have to happen by the 7th. And the reason I say that is the Celtics have so much in their bag that they can deal away come this offseason. So I do think there's something to be said about that. Now, I will also flip it and say, well, one part two is that if I'm trading away a superstar, I do kind of subscribe to the San Antonio Spurs theory of I'd rather not trade you to my conference and then, you know, you be the reason why I don't make it to NBA Finals anymore. I'd rather trade you to the opposing conference and then potentially meet you in an NBA Finals. So there's a part of me that says, yeah, try to trade him to the Knicks or the Celtics. But then, I mean, that is a big... If the Lakers did it, that is a big haul for the Pelicans, potentially, to get Lonzo Ball on a low contract, Kyle Kuzma on a affordable contract, Brandon Ingram on a affordable contract, Zubac on an affordable contract, and maybe some draft picks. Then if I'm the Pelicans, by the way, and this is the other thing too, if I'm the Pelicans, if I'm really going to do it, I try to do it fast. Here's why. Because then I turn around and I look around at the league and I say, who needs a starting point guard? Who's short right now that potentially could find themselves in a playoff hunt that would be looking for a relatively inexpensive point guard to potentially help you? Oh, I know the Indiana Pacers who just lost Victor Oladipo. So maybe you turn around and see, what could I trade Drew Holiday for to the Pacers? What could I trade Drew Holiday to, I don't know, the Detroit Pistons if they believe they still can make some sort of run? Or Blazers don't work, Nuggets don't work. But you know what I mean? Like, Drew Holiday is very affordable, and you could 100% try to set something up where you go in tank mode, get a bunch of youth movement, bunch of draft picks, move on from the Anthony Davis era, and there you have it. Like, you could definitely do that if you want. Just saying, you could. All right, so let's go behind the scenes. we got a bunch of people that work on this program, right? Yang is back there. Sean is back there. The interns are back there. Today it's Patrick. And we do a lot of in-game betting with each other. And Sean is just like feeling himself, puffing his chest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He took the easiest lock of the night.
Oh, easy? Oh, come on. It was a seven-point spread.
Did your lock beat the spread I was going to give you of 14?
Yes, my lock destroyed that spread that you were going to give me of 14. They won by 32.
Go ahead. Tell us how smart you are.
Yes, I picked Golden State minus 7 over the Indiana Pacers. They only won by the score of 132 to 100. You know, it's just 32 points. That's all. You know. How's that for a lock, Keith? How's that for a lock?
I mean, that's as easy of a lock. What would that have paid out? Did you look at what the line was? Like, what would that have paid out?
Minus 110. I think it's the same for both games. That we,
I had Texas Tech, 5-point favorites over TCU very early on. It's about halfway through the opening half, and the Red Raiders, they're up by 9 points. All right, Sean, pull up our – I'll read you the prop bets, and you get some stats ready for us. I can go to the game. You want to do Warriors and Pacers first since that game is done?
Yep.
Tell me what happened with DeMarcus Cousins. We did the – we both chose the over, so it doesn't really matter, but might as well pay it off for our fans out there. DeMarcus Cousins, points and rebounds, a total of 15.5 or more. We said over.
Yes, and we were correct. DeMarcus Cousins, 22 points, so just in points alone, and he threw in 6 rebounds, so 28.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right, let's any of the other games that we did, I don't know if any of them are done. How about is the Nets and Celtics, are they done yet? No, they're not. They're in the fourth quarter. Anyway, let's just see how we're doing. Terry Rozier got the start for Kyrie Irving, over under 15.5 points. You took the over, I took the under. How are we looking?
Right now, 11 points for Rozier.
Ooh,
7 minutes to go, so it's dicey.
That's going to be close.
It's going to be close, yes it will.
Jason Tatum, over under 1.5 threes. Where is he?
He's right now, no threes.
Come on, none. Say none. Yes.
None.
Yes.
No three-pointers, only one attempt, so that's scary in itself. So, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm sorry.
Can I throw this out at you, too? And I know I'm going to interrupt our intro prop bets. The Celtics were so high on Terry Rozier, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown after last season. Like, I don't think their stock could have ever been higher for those three. And I'm not trying to say that any of those three aren't going to be. Oh, I just saw a three-pointer was by the Celtics. I don't know by who. But I'm not trying to say that any of those guys aren't good. But all three of their stock has fallen this year, right?
Yeah. And you know what, though? I'm not surprised by that. Look, they achieved a lot really early. Tatum was a rookie last year. Brown was essentially a rookie. He was playing a lot of minutes for the first time in his career.
Yep.
And there was no Kyrie. There was no Gordon Hayward. You got to get those two studs back this year. And I know Hayward's not doing well. He's inconsistent. But that's going to take the ball out of their hands. So, you know, they have to learn how to play with those guys. So I'm not surprised. I'm not.
All right. Yeah. We both took D'Angelo Russell over 23.5. I'm pretty sure we did well on that one, right?
We did. He has 25 points right now with 6.5 to go. So we already won.
All right.
That's easy.
All right, good.
That was an easy one.
Memphis Grizzlies, Denver Nuggets, Jaren Jackson Jr. I am a fan of his. I think that he is moving in the right direction. 4 of his last 6 games, he has scored 15 or more points. The over-under is 14.5. Where is he?
He's at 6 points right now with 4.5 to go in the third quarter. Only 7 shots.
Oh, third.
Shots.
Okay.
But only 7 shots.
Yeah, but he's a really big fourth quarter player.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Okay. All right.
They're up by – the Grizzlies are up by 21 in that game. Wow. Wow. Then I might feel good about my next one. I haven't looked at the stats yet. Jokic, points, rebounds, assists, 40.5. You took the over. I took the under.
You're looking very good right now. He has just 13 points.
He must be playing bad.
Yeah, 13 points, which isn't bad, but only 2 rebounds and 3 assists.
So 15.
Ouch.
He's only got 18.
Ouch. 18. Ouch. He's a fourth quarter player, though. I'll go by your line. He's a fourth quarter player. Here we go. He might not even
that
play
was
the
good.
Fourth.
Yeah. That was good. Hey, so while we're talking about gambling that we like to do, did you see this story about It was John Wertheim who reported it on, I think it was
Sports
CBS.
Illustrated? Yes. Oh, he used to work for Sports Illustrated.
It was originally Wertheim, and then it got picked up by CBS. Jerry Selby and Marge Selby, a retired couple. They had run a like a little convenience store. They retired in Michigan, and Jerry, who was very big into meth, figured out a way to make lottery odds go into his favor, right? He wasn't cheating. He crunched some numbers, whatever it was, figured it out. And as a couple, they went on to do various state lottery games. More than a dozen times, they won, and they made $26 million in this, what's being called as a lottery loophole. Did you see this story?
Wow. No, I did not see the story, but wow. Are you kidding me? Why couldn't
I
figure that out?
I mean, they've got six, because you're not that smart.
Well, my friends? Come on.
Are your friends that smart? You got to tell me.
I don't know. You're not smart then, Keith? You don't think you're smart?
Nah, not like that. I don't think. I'm not like counting cards or anything like that. Yeah.
I know some people who went to Harvard. You know, come on.
Hartford or Harvard?
No, Harvard. Hartford. Yeah,
you,
I know some
you.
People
I think
Hartford
I think
too.
You said Hartford.
I know people went to both, but Harvard is the one you want to go to. No, that's what a brilliant way to manipulate the system.
Here's part of it. If I play 1,100, mathematically, I'd have one four-number winner. That's 1,000 bucks. I divided 1,100 by 6 instead of 57 because I did a mental quick dirty. I don't know what that means. And I come up with 18. So now I knew I'd have 18 or 19 three-number winners, and that's 50 bucks each. At 18, I got $1,000 for a four-number winner. And I got 18 three-number winners worth $50 each, which means that's 900 bucks. So I've got $1,100 invested, and that means I get a $1,900 return each time. Which means
say that again?
Exactly. I can copy and paste this segment for you. From the article, yeah. Basically, he makes over 80% of his return every time he did it. He got $3,600 in windfall tickets, would win $6,300. If he bet $8,000, he would get a little bit more than double. Pretty good. Pretty cool. Maybe we'll tweet out this article so all of you guys can figure out how to game the system. Gaming the system is where it is. No, it's not. Don't do that. You'll get caught. If you're doing illegal things, it's not. No bueno. It'll be bad. What is good? Eric Pincus, Lakers writer, Bleacher Report, joins me next. Call it shots.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Big day in the NBA as the rumor mill is, man, it is churning and churning and churning and churning. Where will Anthony Davis be playing? It is the focus of our poll question. Many different ways you can vote on that. One of them is via the FNTSY radio Twitter account. It's where we have our poll question up there. Lakers are getting 66% of the vote. Pelicans at 20%. Knicks at 9%. The way we worded the question is, where will Anthony Davis be playing by the NBA trade deadline on February 7th? Help us answer that question and so much more. We turn to Eric Pincus, Lakers writer, Bleacher Report contributor on NBA TV as well. On Twitter, it is Eric Pincus, P-I-N-C-U-S. Eric, boring day for the LA Lakers and covering this, right? Like, this has been really lackluster. You've just been sitting around doing nothing.
You know, I woke up at about 9:30 a.m. I've been going to a lot of games, and my schedule is just killing me. So I'm like, I had Monday blocked in to sleep in and get just paperwork and go through just do stuff, but nothing taxing. And I look at my phone, I've got texts like crazy, tweets, everything's going crazy. And literally, I haven't done anything else other than I did take a shower, but I haven't done anything else. You know, I did take the train. I'm over at Staples Center now, but everything has been just going over this. I wrote an article. My editors were just hashing out the last of it. Should be live on Bleacher Report, trying to make sense of all this Anthony Davis nonsense, which certainly made for an exciting day and an exciting deadline period.
So, actually, I mean, there's so many things I want to talk to you. I actually want to go on one word you just said there, nonsense. So then when, and I know you were talking tongue-in-cheek, but with that being said, do you feel like this is a real L.A. story? What I mean by that is, will the Lakers go all in and try to get Davis before the deadline?
That's it's the question we don't know the full answer to yet. All in meaning, like, are they going to include Kuzma, Ingram, Lonzo, Hart, Zubats? Like, are they going to include everything? They're going to send 2-3 picks. Like, there's a limit to what they'll do, I believe. And that limit should not be, I mean, I feel like it's not nonsense. This is an L.A. story, and it became an L.A. story the moment that Anthony Davis hired Rich Paul, who is LeBron's agent. And in a lot of ways, I would argue that he's LeBron James' business partner, right? LeBron James, if he's business partners with Rich Paul, then in a way, LeBron James is Anthony Davis' agent as well. And I know that's an extreme way of putting it, but and it's not entirely true, and LeBron would probably say that's ridiculous. But I do think it's true. To a degree, maybe 10%, maybe 90%, somewhere in the middle there. So the moment that he signed, he didn't sign with Rich Paul to you know, I'm at a Clipper game, to go join the Clippers, right? Like, I think he did it to join LeBron. He didn't do it to join Danny Ainge and the Celtics. He did it to join LeBron. Now, ultimately, I think Rich Paul will do what's best for his client, and we'll see. Maybe they have other designs. Maybe they have another plan. But I really think that LeBron's legacy is the most important thing to that group, and Anthony Davis's career is maybe, you know, 1B on that. And if you can join those two and give those two a chance to win a championship in Los Angeles, I think this is a very LA story.
Eric, you've been around this team for a while. And again, Eric Pincus, Lakers writer, Bleacher Report, contributor, NBA TV. Follow him on Twitter, Eric Pincus. Joining me, calling the shots, Keith Irizarry. What do you view as the right amount of pieces to give up for Anthony Davis? And I don't know, and let me, I'll pause for a second. This may be a difficult question, being that you do cover this team and you probably have grown to like some of these guys as well, so you don't necessarily want to see them traded, but it is a business, so I ask the question anyway.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, I would have liked to have seen them keep Julius Randle, because I really enjoyed the time spent with Julius Randle. It was not like we went and hung out, but I enjoyed him being around him. I was there when not I wasn't in the delivery room, but he had his wife had a baby. You know, I got to see him become a father, which meant the world to him. So I'm just a reporter, right? I'm a guy covering the team. You have to understand, like, you have relationships with these executives, these coaches. It's very difficult to make these kind of moves, and they're not done lightly. And Anthony Davis has spent his whole career with this franchise. So these are difficult decisions. They shouldn't be taken lightly. As far as the Lakers, I feel like they have to give more now to make a deal than they would over the summer. And I believe that because if they don't make a good enough deal, the Pelicans are simply going to say no one will wait. Okay, so if you wait, what happens? Well, Boston gets into the picture. There's some complications in the rules. They can't trade for Anthony Davis and have Kyrie Irving at the same time because they both were. We don't have to get into the details unless you want to, but they can't. And so,
right, I know.
The Celtics are at the table. They have a lot of draft picks. They have Jason Tatum, who's probably the best player out of any of those two teams that they could offer. I don't think they would, but if it came down to it, they might. You start going through other teams that could join into the fight. But I do think there's a chance that when you get to the summer that Rich Paul could say, my client is only going to the Lakers, and box everyone out. And Danny Ainge, who's a conservative and aggressive GM, he's both. It's kind of odd, but he's not going to give up a lot for somebody who's just going to come for a minute and leave. He's not going to give up Tatum to get Anthony Davis for 1 year, and then Anthony Davis leaves, goes to the Lakers, and then they don't have Tatum. It's just not going to happen. So there's a chance that if the Lakers wait, that Rich Paul plays his cards right, and they don't have to give up as much, that maybe it becomes a one-team market that they're bidding against themselves, and they don't have to offer as much. But they also thought, you know, to a degree, they would get Paul George. And you go through the years of guys they thought they might get. There's something to be said for bird in the hand. There's something to be said for not quote, wasting, which I don't agree with the use of that word, but some people use it, wasting this year of LeBron's career that you put in Anthony Davis on his team. They have a shot to beat the Warriors. Do they? Maybe, maybe not, but they have at least a shot. And so bird in the hand, and then knowing that you have Anthony Davis on your team and being able to plan for the future. So who's worth getting, you know, who's giving up? Are you, I think they would love to keep Kyle Kuzma above all. I think Brandon
Ingram like he would have to go. I'll interrupt for a second. I feel like, and again, I mean, I'm total outsider looking in. If I'm the Pelicans, I feel like Kuzma is clearly the guy I want in return. Don't you feel like Kuzma's starting to ascend to?
It's subjective. Right? It is okay. So subjective. And here, I have talked, because I talked to, you know, people with teams. I've been doing this for a long time. And you build up relationships, or you see people at Staples Center at a game, and you just have a conversation. And I've asked people over and over, you know, how do you rank the Laker prospects? And by and large, I think Lonzo is kind of like number two. And Josh Hart is number three. And I get a lot of polarized answers where Kuzma's number four, where he's just like a diamond doesn't score, who doesn't do anything else, who doesn't play defense. And I've gotten to some people saying Kyle Kuzma's a star, a guy who could fit in as the modern NBA stretch four on any team. And I've gotten Brandon Ingram's got the greatest upside. You look at how he can score. He attacks the basket really well. He's not efficient yet, but he's so much better than he was 2 years ago, and he keeps getting better. His length you can't teach. Et cetera, et cetera. And then I've got some saying he's an inefficient scorer who doesn't defend, doesn't use his length well. And so I really think if you go team by team, you're going to get variations on that. You might not get 30 different answers, but you're probably going to get somewhere in the neighborhood of at least 10 different answers on how those players are evaluated. And so from the Pelicans' point of view, I don't know where Del Demps stands. And more importantly, I don't know where, you know, that entire organization stands on everything they want to do. Do they want young players? Do they want to get like an established star that they could have replace them? I mean, there's all kinds of questions because other teams can get involved. You can get into a multi-team trade. I think the Pelicans should start over and get young players. And if you're starting with like the greatest upside out of all of them, I think Brandon Ingram has the greatest upside. I don't know if he's going to reach it. I feel like Kuzma's more already kind of reached what he'll be. I don't know how much better. I think that what he is now is better today than what Brandon Ingram is today. And he's already that, and I think he'll be a better shooter over time. Right now his three-point shooting is bad, Kuzma. But I think Ingram has a chance to eclipse him and to be a much more important player in a team's offense. But I don't think he fits as well with LeBron James.
He is Eric Pincus, Lakers writer, Bleacher Report. You can see him on NBA TV as well on Twitter, Eric Pincus, E-R-I-C-P-I-N-C-U-S. Joining me, calling the shots, Keith Irizarry, Fantasy Sports Network. Another like layer to this is, and I can go back to something you said a couple of minutes ago about, you know, kind of hoping that Paul George would have ended up being there, kind of missing out on him. Magic Johnson, is this one of those situations you feel like he kind of has to make a move? Like, is this from almost like a marketing, a PR standpoint, is this one of those like make the move, get this guy in there?
Yes and no, because if you go by the numbers, and I kind of liken it to like when you did like maybe physics in high school, where you could run some equations and see like, hey, this, you know, this works. But in real life, you have like resistance, you have like friction, you have wind, right? Like, so the experiments you did in high school physics, in real life, they're going to be off a little bit because of real world issues. So the Lakers have a mathematical path to get someone like, which is crazy, but someone like Kyrie Irving this summer or Kawhi Leonard, sign them first, right? Wait till July, sign that player, and then trade almost everything to get Anthony Davis. So this would be in July. And then you're building a team that's LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, or Kyrie Irving, and then Anthony Davis, which is beyond a grand slam for Magic, right? So, but the problem, as I was saying about like the physics point of view, like just because it's mathematically possible, it's extremely difficult. It's extremely complicated. The timing has to be absolutely perfect. Everyone has to, you know, they need like Ivica Zubats to agree to a sign and trade transaction. All these kind of like details that in the real world are almost impossible to pull off. It's really hard to get a trade between two teams and you bring in a third. So that's really the challenge there. So for Magic, if they wait, maybe it's a clearer path to a third star, because if you trade for Anthony Davis now, they don't have that max cap room anymore. They don't have that ability to go and pay Kyrie Irving 30 $2 million, right? Instead, they have like $20 to $25 million, which can really, you could put on, you know, use that to trade for someone. You could, there's a lot of things you could do with it, but there's no guarantee, and it's, and there's certainly no easy path that they can use, just, you know, go get a free agent. They don't have that. So for Magic, from his point of view, because I think when Magic Johnson wakes up every day, he looks in the mirror and says, I'm Magic freaking Johnson. You know what I mean? It's like some people wake up and they like worry about, will today be a success? Will today be a failure? I don't feel like Magic is someone who does that. I feel like he's had success in multiple fields over the course of a long, successful life. I'm happy for him, especially because I was around when there was the HIV announcement. Now, I wasn't working yet. I was just a kid, but you know, we all thought that Magic wasn't going to be on the earth long. And so really happy for his success just as an individual to overcome something that at the time was feared not overcomable. So and what he's done, I feel like Magic believes he's in a win-win situation. There's just an advantage to making that win now, even if it's a little bit more expensive now, because then you have a chance to win this year. You have a chance to build something with Anthony Davis and LeBron. You have a chance to make sure that your Celtics don't get your, they don't jump in there and get your guy, because that's the biggest competition. So I feel like they'll give more now, and they might have to give more over the summer, but there's a path where, like I said, if Rich Paul really boxes in the situation, that maybe they give less, maybe they get three stars, maybe there's a better path in waiting. And I think Magic is probably toying over these things with Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss and trying to make decisions. But I think if you have the chance today, or you know, February 7th, to get Anthony Davis on the same team with LeBron James, I don't think you worry about the, well, maybe we can get him and Kyrie next, you know, July. I think you say, let's do it, let's get it done. And if we have to include one extra kid, you include one extra kid.
Eric, this was absolutely awesome. Love chatting with you, and I'm sure we will do it again very soon. Have a good night, man.
All right, anytime. Thanks for having me.
There he is, Eric Pincus, Bleacher Report. What good stuff there. I mean, the insight there was awesome. There is stuff that he said that really stood out to me that I might want to double back and kind of talk about. The whole moving the pieces and making, oh, I loved it. Eric's awesome. We got more to do. Calling the shots, Keith Irizarry, Fantasy Sports Network, Fantasy Sports Radio.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back here calling the shots, Keith Irizarry, Fantasy Sports Network, and in Fantasy Sports Radio. All fired up on this Monday as we are winding down hour number two. So I didn't get a chance to read this to you guys yet, and I'm not sure if you saw it, but I think it's worth it. The Pelicans did release a statement, you know, in reaction to all of this Anthony Davis stuff, and maybe in hour number three we'll play some of the Alvin Gentry sound as well. We'll bring that back for you. But they wrote, this past weekend, Anthony Davis's representatives informed us that Anthony does not wish to sign a contract extension with our team and subsequently has requested a trade. Although we were disappointed in this decision, our organization's top priority is to bring an NBA championship to our city and to our fans and build our team for long-term success. Relative to specific talks of a trade, we will do this on our own timeline. That's the one right there. That's the one that struck me. On our own timeline. One that makes sense for our team. Here we go. And it will not be dictated by those outside of our organization. We have also requested the league to strictly enforce the tampering rules associated with this transaction. This is clearly shots fired at Clutch Sports, at Rich Paul, at anyone in that in that business. Potentially shots fired at LeBron James, who's another Rich Paul client. And, of course, we know that LeBron and Anthony Davis, they're at least buddy-buddy. LeBron James and Rich Paul are way more than buddy-buddy. They are virtually best friends and business partners. So I thought it was interesting. Now, I guess this conversation happened on either Saturday or Sunday, and today was when it kind of got leaked. Adrian Wojnarowski, I'm sure, knew it on Saturday, and he was probably told when he's allowed to leak it, and that's why Woj is the best. Woj really does actually, like, respect the process of breaking stories. I thought it was interesting. We will do this on our own timeline, one that makes sense for our team. More Call the Shots, Keith Irizarry, Fantasy Sports Network. Keep it locked.